The text we've read out today is quite famous. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And we will be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, but I want to focus first on freedom, living in freedom, and kind of work my way towards the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to start with a small thought experiment. And I had a bit of fun thinking about this on my own. If you had absolute freedom, right? If you're unshackled by whatever it is you think that holds you down. If you have absolute freedom, what do you think you'd do? And first thing that came to my mind, of course, was all that freedom we had before kids, before Ring Swan, right? We could go anywhere, we could be up and about and go wherever we want to. Things are a lot more easy to move about. Now things take double the time. I wouldn't say we're shackled by Ring Swan, but there's a bit of a limitation, right, in our movement, our activities. And so that's the first thing that came to my mind. But also, I had a bit of fun like browsing what people are saying on the internet about what they would do if they had absolute freedom, and found my way in Reddit conversations. And it's very interesting because behind these personas, right, some of them are quite honest, and there were some comments that speak about the kind of the thing that we normally expect, like I would buy an island out there and I would not have a job and I would fish and whatever, like eat coconuts for breakfast or whatever it is that people want to do. So there's that narrative, and then there's other people who say I would have a garden and I would be fully rooted on to the land and not worry about emails and so on and so forth. There are some, though, that I was quite fascinated by that were quite brutally honest. There's one guy who said that, I think if I had all absolute freedom, I would just end up living the same way I am, which is I would still probably waste all of my time on the internet, browse my time on the internet. And that kind of pricked me because there's a certain element of truth and nervousness in my own as well. Like if I had all the free time in the world, would I also end up just... and I'm not saying that the internet is all bad and all of that. There are wonderful things that you can do, obviously. But there's also the possibility, the fear, the real fear that could be the direction I go to if I have absolute freedom. There's another guy who was quite honest. He said, I'd probably get bored. I would probably drink too much. And as he puts it, I might just die early. And again, that's a bit... very direct, but I think there's a real possibility there as well. There's another person who said, freedom is an advantage for those who have skills. And I thought this was quite interesting, quite profound. Because if you don't have skills, if you don't have the skill sets, you are free, but you don't know what to do. Like you waste the time. It's possible that you might just waste the time and not really use that free time, not know how to use that free time. And I thought these thoughts were quite quite interesting and profound because it seems to touch on an honest kind of reflection on what freedom is and what human beings tend to do, the human condition, if you like. When you look at the book of Galatians, right, when you look at what Paul says, his idea of freedom is quite interesting. He says, we are free, we're set free to serve one another. And this almost seems paradoxical, right? I mean, all of these images that we have of freedom is to avoid serving others, is to serve myself and serve my own wishes and desires. But according to what Paul says in the book of Galatians and others as well, the point of freedom is that we are set free to serve one another. So I want to dwell on that notion, that idea. So I want to go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and I'll read the rest of the passage from which we get today's passage. Galatians 5, 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another, each other. So, quite a beautiful passage. I think it's one of those texts. Obviously, this is the Bible. This is the inspired Word of God. But again and again, you're struck by how much the Scripture understands human situation, human condition, things like freedom, things like service, things like religion, right? So this is one of the texts in which this the beauty and the elegance comes forward, I think. So according to Paul, what does he think of freedom? As we saw in a brief discussion of what people say about freedom, usually when we think of freedom, we think of it as to not be shackled to things. And you can fill in the blanks there. It could be jobs, it could be obligations. Some of us may love the job a lot, but it can be other things that we feel are the ones that shackles us or stops us from living that life in freedom. It could be, sometimes it could be bad habits that we know it's not good for us, but we want to be set free from those bad habits. When we go into any on the internet, especially on YouTube, there's so much things about productivity, right? And that talks about how people are caught in bad habits and bad routines, and everyone is trying to get out of that, to be free of those shackles of bad habits in life. The lack of freedom could come from simply lack to not have enough. It could be financial restrictions, for example. Sometimes it could be illness. There are things that we would like to do, and it is illness that holds us down from living the life of freedom. For Paul, and in the book of Galatians, he says that freedom is about the lack of freedom is about being shackled to what he calls the flesh. To be shackled to the flesh, to be bounded to the flesh. Of course, to put it very, very concisely, I think we see this in verse 13 and 14, where he says that the flesh is all about self-indulgence, to indulge the flesh, as it says. The flesh is about self-serving. It's about being concerned only for the self and for one's own. And I think this gives a very interesting perspective on what is freedom, when we have so much definitions of freedom, as we have just gone through a few of them. What does it really mean to be free? And I think in most of the ways in which this is depicted, freedom is depicted, it's usually about indulging yourself, right? I mean, the freedom is literally about being able to take care of yourself, to serve yourself, to serve ourselves. But here we have a completely different understanding of freedom. Freedom is to be free from the need to serve yourself, to be free from the need to be only about ourselves. Freedom is to be set free from the flesh, self-indulgence. The entire book of Galatians is actually quite interesting. You may know the background of this, but in the book of Galatians, the Christians in Galatia, they had a false understanding. They thought that religious practice, like context, it'd be coming to church or, you know, going with the routines. Religious practice, of course, in that time it was Jewish traditions. The Christians in Galatia, thought that religious piety, religious practices were what sets them free. They thought that this was what the point of it all is. This is the whole point of faith and religion, to practice and to have to have these rituals and routines. But Paul was quick to put it really short. Paul was very clear that sometimes religious practices can be a way of serving yourself. Religious practices, to practice religion can be a way of self-indulgence, if you like. Paul is saying that religious practices can become shackles to freedom. It can become ways in which we serve ourselves, have concerns only for ourselves and ourselves, like to be self-serving. And this was the very simply one of the themes of the book of Galatians, that you are set to be free. You've been set to be free. You've been set free from the need to serve yourself. And yet you have, Galatian Christians have gone back to religious practices to serve themselves. And Paul was like, why would you do that? They are completely reversing all that has been done in Christ. So even religious practices can become ways of unfreedom, of being shackled to lack of freedom. So even the book of Galatians is kind of talking about that. And I think Paul provides us two ways in which we might be freed from the flesh, from the shackles of the flesh, from the bondage of the flesh, to be truly set free. I think he gives us two ways in which we can experience that, to be free from the shackles of self-centeredness, from the shackles of self-service. The first way is to be bounded to others. And there's a play of words here. I wonder if Noah can put up verse 13, I think. Yeah, I think it's in verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. There's a play of words here. He's saying, don't use your freedom to serve yourself. Rather, use your freedom to be bounded, to be in bondage to one another. There's another translation that says, use your freedom in love to be in bondage to one another. We can be truly set free when we are freed from the need to of self-centeredness, and when we oblige ourselves to be bounded to others. In other words, to be other-centered in our lives, in the way we live our life. We are truly free when we are free from the need to serve ourselves. We're truly free from when we are free to serve others. Again, this is a very contradictory notion to what we probably hear in the world and in our own instinct as well, because we think freedom is about serving ourselves. But Paul tells us that use that freedom to become a servant of others, right? To freedom, we can experience true freedom when we are loving and when we are, can I use the word, shackled to others, to the service of others. When we try to get beyond ourselves, and when we care, and when we're bounded to one another, right? And I think in general, people do this. It's not just Christians who are able to do this, by the way. It's people do this in marriage, for example. There's a covenant relationship in which you are bounded to somebody else, and you are thinking not just for your personal concern, but for the others as well. And of course, in family or even in a church, the language of covenant, right, which is you might know well, that is a way of being bounded to one another, to being shackled to one another. So it's not just Christians who are capable of doing this. It's everybody in the world knows this. To get in relationships, it's to be bounded to one another. Friendship is all about being bounded and shackled to one another in some sense. Paul tells us that to be truly free is to allow ourselves to be bounded to one another. So I think that's the first thing that Paul tells us, to how to be truly free from the need of self-service, from the flesh. We can be truly free when we are bounded or shackled to others. The second way, though, is uniquely a Christian thing, which is we can be truly free when we are attentive or when we walk in the Spirit. Can we use the word shackled as well? When we are shackled to the Holy Spirit, that we are willing to follow the Spirit in our lives, not to serve ourselves, but to follow the will of the Holy Spirit. when we revolve our life not around myself and ourselves, but when we revolve our life around the Holy Spirit. And this is very specifically something that Christ gives us. It's not something that people can do naturally. That the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And God the Spirit, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And we can be truly set free from the flesh and from self-indulgence when we are attentive to the Holy Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, according to what Paul says. I think he says in verse 16, if you can, the next slide. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. He goes on, if you could quickly go down to verse 25 as well, Noah. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we are truly free when we are shackled or bounded to the Holy Spirit in life. Of course, we can talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit, and that can be a whole sermon in itself. But very quickly, what it means basically is that to walk is a symbol of a regular process. It's something that you do on a daily basis, walking. So that's the picture that we have, to walk on a regular process with the Holy Spirit. And to walk also means to progress, to advance in a direction. Again, that's a beautiful picture that we have. We walk regularly with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit regularly, and to advance in our life. To walk also means to be intentional, to choose to walk with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's also another important theme. We don't just naturally slide into walking with the Spirit. It's a decision that we must choose to walk with the Holy Spirit. Of course, we walk with the Holy Spirit through the practice of prayer. Prayer is the way in which we communicate with God through the Spirit. Scripture is the way in which God speaks to us as we believe. Church is the place, the body of Christ is where we meet one another, we fellowship, we encourage one another. And in a way, we meet Christ as well, the body of Christ, through the church. So these are ways in which we walk in the Spirit, regular process, progression of walking in the faith. Also importantly, to decide to do what is right, not just in church, but even in our workplaces, listening, being attentive to what might God desire for me in this decision, what might God desire for me in this particular moment, and to decide to do what is right, which is sometimes the harder thing to do, but to follow the example of Jesus. So we are truly free when we choose to walk in the Spirit. And what I love about the way it's told is that verse 16, it says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There's a promise there. If we walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the flesh. In other words, the Spirit is stronger and more powerful than the flesh. The Spirit is able to help us. It's a promise right there that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He is much more stronger than any of the struggles that we may have, that any of the shackles that may bind us. The Spirit is more powerful than the flesh. Elsewhere in Galatians 5, verse 5, it says, through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. In other words, through the Spirit, we can confidently wait for righteousness. Right? Can you think of righteousness as a description for ourselves? I mean, that's quite a heavy thing to think of, but that is the promise that we have, that when we walk in the Spirit, through the Spirit, we can expect righteousness in our life as we live our life. It also means that this is the Spirit's, Holy Spirit's work, this Holy Spirit's doing. We simply follow, we simply rehearse and practice that faith. It is the Spirit's doing that frees us. It's the Spirit's doing that gives us the skill. You might remember what I caught in among the Reddit comments, in which one person said, you're free, but you don't have the skill set to practice that freedom. In a way, you might think of the Holy Spirit giving us the skill set to use that freedom in the best way possible. Now, the Holy Spirit enables us, gives us the strength to live up to that freedom in our life. So it's the Spirit's doing, and that's a huge consolation, huge comfort for us, that the Spirit helps us to overcome the flesh. And it says that Paul goes on to say that there are fruits or evidences of whether you are living, whether we are living by the flesh or whether we are walking in the Spirit. If we live according to the flesh, if we live according to the ideas of self-indulgence or self-centeredness, Paul says the acts, the fruits are obvious. Verse 19, Noah, please. In verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. It's clearly evident. We all know what this looks like. And all of these numbers of things, right? You can even see from the way it's depicted, it's a mess. Like, it's clearly evident that these are the results of living according to the flesh. And I think this may not necessarily be the issues that we face in life, but we can use this as a way to assess our own fruits as well in our life. Like, if these are the fruits that we bear in life, then we may need to have an assessment of whether we are truly walking in the Spirit or whether we are actually walking according to the flesh, according to the self-indulgence. And I say that as a way of it's a process of repentance, right? It's a process of confessing and coming to terms with who we really are and what kind of life we do, and not to condemn us, but so that it might turn us to be more aware of ourselves and to turn to walking with the Spirit. So if we walk according to the flesh, these are the evidences, and they are quite obvious, they're quite clear. But if we walk according to the Spirit, if we follow the leading of the Spirit, if we go to the next slide, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit. It's a singular word. You might have heard this described, but I think it's important to remember that this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's one Spirit. It's one fruit that has all these characteristics. And the fruit of the Spirit is, of course, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May I suggest that if you're looking for a verse to memorize and, you know, put as a mental poster in your mind, in your head, this is a great one to start with. Maybe for even for our kids or for us as well, just to keep this in our mind, to set up as a model or as a dream, as an ideal in our heads. I was thinking of dwelling on these 9 characteristics for the sermon, but it's just a lot, and and I thought I thought it might be just better to leave that with you all and let these the words dwell in you. But I would totally encourage you to memorize the list and keep that pinned in your mind every once in a while to recall and to reflect and assess your life. I mean, how wonderful it would be when our lives are characterized by these, by love, right? By joy in a time when there's a lot of things going on in the world. Peace. I mean, to choose to be at peace, to choose to be patient, to choose to be kind and good. I mean, who talks about good anymore these days, right? But it is such a wonderful characteristic. To choose to be faithful to loved ones, to one another, faithful to God. To choose to be gentle when the world seems to be all about flexing and showing off the power and the weapons that each other have, that they own and are holding each other. Self-control. How wonderful it would be for our life to be characterized by self-control. So this is what we are going for in life. True freedom, to be truly free in the Spirit, would be to have a life like this, characterized by this. That is the goal. That is the outcome that we're looking for. So I want to close with kind of a points for us to remember what we reflected on. Freedom is to not be shackled to our flesh, according to Paul and according to the book of Galatians. Freedom is to not be shackled to our flesh and to ourselves. Freedom is to be free to love. Freedom is to be free to serve one another. And the Holy Spirit helps us to live out the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us. We don't have to fight for our own fruit, to bear our own fruit. It's the Spirit who helps us. What we do is we walk along and follow Him in our life, and it is the Spirit that helps us to live out the fruit. We might look at our homes, we might look at our relationships, our loved ones, and of course we might look at the world, and we look at the society, and we may desire freedom in our lives, in the world. We may desire liberation or freedom in certain aspects of our life. It could be, as I mentioned, it could be in habits, it could be in relationships, it could be so on and so forth. And sometimes we look around and we feel helpless, we feel hopeless. Maybe instead of feeling helpless and hopeless, as Paul says, why don't we follow the Holy Spirit? Why don't we pursue the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? Because the Spirit helps us to bear and live out the fruit. And maybe we feel powerless in our lack of freedom because we are not tapping into the strength of the Holy Spirit, because we are not spending time reflecting on Scripture. Maybe we're not praying, maybe we're not thinking actively of what God wants us to do in our lives, in our everyday lives, not just on the weekends, but in our day as well. Maybe we feel powerless because we're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit for us. Or maybe we are inconsistent and sporadic, rather than the walking that we see, the metaphor of walking, consistent and steady walking. Rather than that, maybe we have been inconsistent and sporadic. If that's the case, Paul reminds us to walk in the Spirit on a regular basis. Freedom is to be not shackled to ourselves and our flesh. Freedom is to be bounded to others, to serve others, and to the Spirit. Also, think of the fruit of the Spirit as things that we are free to do. So think of it as, I'm free to love. Think of it as, I'm free to have joy. Every time we go through, it's on a daily basis, I'm sure. When we have challenges, remind ourselves that we are set free to have joy. We are set free to have peace and patience, right? We are set free to be good and to be faithful. We're set free from the need to fight for ourselves and to be self-serving in our own lives. And we are set free to love. And I think that's an important way of thinking about the freedom that we have in Christ. We are set free to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We are free. We don't have to be self-indulgent. We can be bounded to others. We can serve others. And we can walk in the Spirit because Christ has set us free. So let us pray. Why don't we take a moment to just quieten our hearts and listen to the Spirit and just respond in prayer and say we want to be attentive to you and we want to be free from the flesh. We want to follow the will of God. Why don't we take some time to be quiet in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you because your word tells us that you have set us free. Lord, help us to live in that freedom on a daily basis. Help us, O Lord, to serve others. Help us, O Lord, to follow the leading and the leading of the Holy Spirit and to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.